Please give a big hand.
Put your hands together.
At the beginning, a few minutes, I want to speak from here because I can see the faces of audience. And also I can see whether some corner audience, whether sleeping or not, I can see. Respected elder brothers and rest of the brothers and sisters, I always emphasize we are same human being. I myself consider one of the 7 billion human beings. No differences. And with this feeling, I found immense benefit. I consider I'm just another human being. Then wherever I go, meet people, I always feel, human brothers, sisters. If I, too much emphasis, I'm Asian, I'm Tibetan, I'm Buddhist, and then if I emphasize, I am His Holiness Dalai Lama, then emotionally, you just find you are lonely, alone, lonely person. So as soon as they create certain sort of feeling, I am something special, different from other. Itself, you see, creates source of anxiety, fear. So consider I'm another human being. I don't care formality. When we born, no formality. When we die, no formality. While we're alive, we should treat each other as a human brother, sisters. It's much better. And then furthermore, a lot of problem which we are facing. Now, for example, this very moment, we enjoy peace, harmony, joyfulness. But same time, same planet, same human being actually dying through violence, through starvation. How can we remain indifferently? Brothers, sisters dying due to our own action. So, all these problems, too much emphasis on secondary level of differences. Different race, different country, and including different religion. So therefore, now time come. In order to reduce these, usually I call human-created problem. Now time come, we have to go fundamental level, we are same human being. Difference is there. That is secondary level, not important. Basically, we all are same human being. mentally, emotionally, physically, we are sane. And with that, by innate way, innate, we all have want to have, or say, a peaceful life. So everyone, not only we human being, but limitless other sentient being, birds, animals, insects, fish, all have a right to have peaceful life. So therefore, the 7 billion human beings, each one have right to achieve happy life. And then we are social animal. Individual's future depend on rest of the community. In ancient time, different place, different area, the limited community, say individual's future depend on limited community. Now today's world, global economy, and also one important thing is global warming. And plus human population also much increase. So now the individual's future depend on rest of the humanity. So your own selfish viewpoint, we have to take serious concern about the rest of the world, 7 billion human beings. So therefore, number one, my commitment is try to promote a sense of oneness of 7 billion human beings. Since we are part of that, each of us have the responsibility to develop concern of 7 billion human beings. If we human beings becoming more sensible, more compassionate, and then limitless animal also then, you see, get immense benefit. Because we, too much self-centered attitude and short-sighted and don't care about life or right of limitless sentient beings on this planet. So therefore, now we really need a sense of global responsibility on the basis of sense of oneness of human being. That's my number one commitment. Actually, I am sort of more outspoken way. Everyone have that kind of desire. Then my second commitment is I am Buddhist monk. On this planet, there are different spiritual traditions there. Over 2,000 in this country, over 3,000, around 4,000 years, different spiritual traditions there. So these different traditions brought immense benefit to humanity. Occasionally some problem also started. But basically, you see, all these spiritual traditions brought to humanity more meaningful life, more compassionate life. In spite of different philosophy, some say there is God, Creator, Allah. Some say no God. So basically, theistic religion, non-theistic religion, I think rest of the world, major religious, Judeo-Christian sort of tradition, Islam, all these major tradition, you see, believe the Creator. Then this country, Sangya philosophy, over 3,000 years, one group Sangya philosophy, no concept of creator, and then Jainism, no creator, life, no beginning, or soul, no beginning. Then after that, Buddha Dharma come, no concept of creator. In spite of such sort of different views about the philosophical field, all carry same message of love. In order to practice love, all tradition teach us practice of tolerance, practice of forgiveness, tolerance of self-discipline, contentment. All these in order to develop infinite love, you need these practice. So all major rich tradition teach us, you see, these are city teaching. So all major rich tradition have same potential to bring inner peace through practice of love. Now today, out of 7 billion human beings, around 1 billion non-believer. And frankly speaking, among 6 billion believer, some mischievous, strange believer also there. These, I think, due to lack of conviction about these deeper human value. So religion also then become disposal of destructive emotion like that. So therefore, religious harmony is very essential. It is very possible. This country, India, Bharat, over 3,000 years, different religious tradition there. Later, beside homegrown different religious tradition, from outside, Zoroastrianism came. Then Judaism came, and then Christianity came, and then Islam came. You see, in this country, now all major world religious tradition live together. As a human society, occasionally some mischievous people create certain problems. But overall, India is the example of all major religious tradition can live together. That is, I think, India's treasure. So since this country, over a billion population, still basically religious harmony there, so therefore, the other country where conflict in the name of religion there, I think eventually we can reduce these things. Because if we sort of seriously think what is the real teaching, then all carry teaching of love, forgiveness like that. So therefore, my number two commitment is promotion of religious harmony. I have, you see, a number of genuine spiritual brothers, sisters, some Christian, some Muslim, some Hindus, some Jews, and sometimes some of these spiritual brothers, sisters who follow different religious tradition, they describe me like as a some Christian describe me as a good Christian, like that. Some say good Muslim. So therefore, you see, the essential practice is same. So that's my number two commitment. So my brothers, sisters here, you see, please think, number one, try to promote sense of oneness of 7 billion human beings. Second, try to promote religious harmony. Then third, my commitment is I'm Tibetan. So around 6 million Tibetan. They very much sort of love me, very much trust me. So I have some responsibility regarding them. But political matter, since 2001, I already retired, semi-retirement. And then 2011, I totally retired about temporal responsibility. Since 2001, we already achieved elected political leadership. That leader, political leader, carry all the responsibility regarding temporal responsibility. So since then, myself, not only myself retired, but also almost 4 century old or tradition since 5th Dalai Lama started, the Dalai Lama institution automatically become head of both temporal and spirituality. Now that formally, voluntarily, proudly cease, I feel that is one of my contribution regarding promotion of democracy, like that. Then the environment inside Tibet, I feel very important. As I mentioned earlier, ecology problem is really a serious matter. A part of that, one Chinese ecologist, he wrote an article since he studied the situation in Tibet. Now he found effect from Tibetan plateau for global warming. He found the effect for global warming like North Pole, South Pole. So therefore, he described Tibetan plateau is third pole. So, taking care about the environment inside Tibet is not only a concern for 6 million Tibetan people, but also is a concern for humanity, particularly Asia, no question. Then major rivers from Yellow River, Mekong River, Brahmaputra River, and Kasa, Indus River, all these major rivers almost cover whole Asia. They are ultimate source from Tibet. So we have to take serious care about environment inside Tibet. That's my commitment regarding Tibet. And then Tibetan culture, including Tibetan language. Now I found Tibetan language is the best language to explain Nalanda tradition about logic, about psychology. These things, Tibetan language, I found best language. Through Tibetan language, you can describe very, very precisely. English language, no hope. Modern Hindi, also no hope. Only Tibetan. Because, you see, Tibetan Buddhism, actually, I think, the 8th century, you see, Tibetan emperor invited one of the top master or logician, philosopher of Nalanda, Shantarakshita. He introduced Buddhism in Tibet according to Nalanda tradition. So according to Nalanda tradition, not just to carry puja or some ritual, no. 20, 30 years rigorous study. Firstly, root text memorized. including myself, 7-8 year old, already started memorizing some of these root texts. And then we use extensively logic. So therefore, the Tibetan Buddhist tradition is, I think, most profound and complete about Nalanda tradition. So I feel it is really useful to preserve. Now here, among our refugee community, handful Tibetan community carry the responsibility for preservation of these things through rigorous study like that. So then my fourth commitment is try to revival of ancient Indian knowledge in modern India. You know, all those knowledge which we learned, we kept over 1,000 years. These knowledge I really found immense useful in modern time, including field of science. I have over 30 years, I have serious discussion with modern scientists, mainly four fields: cosmology, neurobiology, nuclear physics, particularly quantum physics, then psychology. In these four fields, the knowledge which we kept, I found really very useful. The many scientists really showing genuine eagerness to learn. They really also impressed this knowledge. So now these, usually I telling, teasing my Indian friend, this knowledge, ancient time, we learn from you. You as our teacher, as our guru, we chela of Indian guru. Now I often you see mentioning, we are not only chela, but also reliable, trusted chela of ancient Indian guru. So since we really trusted reliable chela, we kept all this knowledge over 1,000 years. Whereas where in guru's own land, this knowledge now reach nirvana. See, so therefore, I fully convinced, since according to my own experience, this ancient Indian knowledge is not only ancient one, but also very relevant to today's world. Now, today's world, there is some kind of emotional crisis there. So this, as the other speaker mentioned, material development, technology will not solve this emotional problem. Only emotional problem can deal with inner sort of the knowledge about emotion and how to tackle emotion. So should not consider these are religious matter, or certainly not Buddhist practice, but these as an academic subject. And then, you see, these ancient Indian knowledge really very, very helpful to tackle our destructive emotion. That I can assure to you 100% through my own experience, and many our friends who have this experience, really, when they're passing through difficult life, this knowledge immense useful to keep inner peace, inner strength. So therefore, these ancient Indian knowledge, not only ancient knowledge, but also very relevant to today's world. Now, these should consider as an academic subject. Usually we also learning or educate hygiene of physical. Now time come, knowledge, hygiene of emotion is very essential. So now, modern India, too much copying modern materialistic life. Of course, material development, material value, very essential in order to bring physical comfort. But that alone not sufficient. 1,000-year-old your own tradition, how to tackle our emotion. Through that way, bring inner peace, mental peace. Then combine these two things, physical comfort, physical well-being, similarly, emotional well-being. That world need. So India, these are not something new, but your 1,000-year-old, your own tradition. Now only question is revival of these things, like that. So that's my fourth commitment. And now the problem, existing modern education is very much oriented about material value. This is not adequate. Now time come, in education, we should include education about our inner value without touch religious faith. So India's 1,000-year-old concept of secular is very relevant. The ahimsa. Ahimsa on the level of action. On the basis of ahimsa is karuna. So in order to carry 1,000-year-old India's the concept of secular, the ahimsa, you must pay more attention about inner value, karuna. Now scientists also, you see, they say, firstly, human nature is more compassionate. With more compassionate heart, your physical condition much better. Constant anger, fear is actually eating our immune system. That's a medical scientist now, they say that. And furthermore, now scientists say basic human nature is more compassionate. Therefore, if existing education, including education about emotion, about our inner peace, then there is real possibility to create a peaceful individual, peaceful family, peaceful community, finally, peaceful world. In that respect, you Indian, this knowledge is your own 1,000-year-old, your own knowledge. Now, only question is pay more attention and study. Then you can share rest of the world. That my strong view. So I just share with you. That's all. Now some questions, question and answer. You are exploring external space. I'm exploring internal space. Thank you. Thank you. Now some questions. Where?
Yeah,
question.
He's there. Yeah.
Some microphone. Meropham. I think since large number of people here, so I think one Meropham hold in the center. Then people who have some question come. Ask.
Yeah, His Holiness will send the mic to them. Yeah, one sec, hold on.
Meropham.
Morning, sir. I would like to ask His Holiness that how do you feel that our new leader, Mr. Narendra Modi, is transforming this country to a good level, or do you feel there's still more work to be done?
Karsa, there is no direct business for me. That's up to you.
Thank you very much.
Next question.
Hello. Good morning, Your Holiness. One question I have is, what guidance do you have for the youngsters who are struggling between acquiring material wealth to be successful but are struggling inside?
As I mentioned earlier, the existing education system, which comes from West, I think about 200 years ago, separate education institutions started. I think in the past, everywhere, monastery carry the learning center. Since science and technology developed, then monastery alone not sort of sufficient. So separate education institutions started. Then moral ethics site, monastery take care. The newly developed sort of knowledge about science and technology, then newly developed education institution now take care. At that time, seems quite well balanced. Now in a modern time, the religious institutions sort of influence a little bit decline. So now the existing education institution alone should take care both material development and internal development. In other words, take care physical well-being, similarly mental well-being. So India's education should include education about our inner world. And inner world, not through prayer, but through training of our mind. This country, mainly non-theistic religion, very much emphasis about emotion. So practice of shamatha, practice of vipassana, all ancient Indian knowledge, Indian spiritual tradition have these two practice. So these dealing with our mind, dealing with emotion. So this thou should consider secular sort of academic subject, not religious thing. Then you can include in secular education field. So now this country, I think you can easily do that. So existing modern education system should include some ancient Indian knowledge as an academic subject, as I mentioned earlier, subject about emotion and subject about logic, very important. Okay, next question.
Hello, sir, I am Pawan Kumar, here, sir.
Yes.
So I am Pawan Kumar, and PhD student in JNCSR. My question is, what is the important for the youth, is religion or science?
Karsa.
What the importance for the youth is religion or science?
I think both.
So can you?
I myself consider half Buddhist monk, half scientist. So therefore, science very important. You see, modern science till later part of 20th century, this in the scientific sort of research, they are not talking about mind, just brain. Later part of 20th century, those great scientists, particularly brain specialists, now through their experiment, now they found through training of mind can change our brain. Now they accept, oh, there is some mysterious thing which can affect our brain. So now, beginning of this 21st century, now some scientists carry some, they develop certain project to investigate about subtle level of mind, like that. In the West, when we talk about mind, they only refer sensorial level, not mental level. Because the Judeo-Christian background, you see, they just faith, pray, not much use reasons or investigation. So whereas India's tradition, particularly Vipassana, analytical meditation, use extensively investigation. So in the field of science also now these things very, very useful, like that. So I think young Indian, I think you should pay both sides, science and religion, not just one tradition, because of ritual. Ritual, not much effect. Your marriage or certain sort of social life, ritual, something, maybe some relation. But real transformation of our mind, our emotion, ritual not much useful.
Thank you, sir.
So religion means more study and transform our emotion. That is a genuine religion. Dharma, dharma.
Okay.
Good. Next question.
Humble pranams. This is Dr. Raghu here. Humble pranams once again.
Oh, yes.
My question is, what is the purpose of this creation? Because the creation led to confusion and lot of suffering and so many diversities, number one. And two, connected to that, what is the real spirituality? Especially for the today's world, what is the real spirituality? Please, thank you.
As I mentioned there, I think over 3,000 years, people, human being, particularly in this country, so a lot of sort of investigation, what is the purpose of our life? And the creation of world.
I want to ask about his view.
So, you see some school of thought, no creator, but due to evolution from space, empty space, energy come, then heat come, then liquid come, then solid come, then gradually life started. So that's the way. And then eventually, billions of years, then eventually solid dissolve in liquid, liquid dry in heat, heat disappear in energy, energy disappear in space. So, according ancient Indian knowledge, the Big Bang, not only one Big Bang, limitless Big Bang. One Big Bang happened, the whole universe start. Then eventually whole universe disappear. And then again, new universe come. Now, scientists also, it's not a very clear idea, but you see, they understand that's the only way to explain. Like that. So if you accept creator, creation, then the purpose of the world, or create, because of creation of the world, please you ask God. Nobody have the ability to answer. One Indian friend, is a very serious or religious-minded. Once he told me, since whole world created by God, that among God's creation, there are many mischievous people there. Why God create that? He asked me. Then, see, this is difficult to answer. Then I told him, since God also created heaven and hell, so there must be someone go to hell. Otherwise, no purpose creation of hell. So that's why, you see, in this country, as I mentioned earlier, over 3,000 years, Sangya philosophy and Jainism, Mahavira, no concept of God, no concept of creator. And then after that, Buddha also, Buddhism also, no creator, just a karma. Because cause and effect, that way. So very similar, that was scientific explanation, evolution, like that. Okay, next question.
Good morning, sir. My question is religious harmony good for, or rather, having pride in one's religion, is it good for religious harmony?
Where? Oh, yes. Oh.
Sir, having pride in one's religion, is it good for religious harmony? Or is it an obstacle?
Kursa, as I mentioned earlier, the religion, essence of Dharma, is a method to transform our emotion. That's the real meaning of Dharma, not ritual or organization or big temple, no. The real meaning of Dharma is method to transform our emotion. In that respect, all major world traditions have same potential. Now, for example, theistic religion, God creates all of us. God, infinite love. So God, like our Father, Father with infinite love. So we all children of that kind of God. So firstly, we really can develop sense of brotherhood, sisterhood. Same source, God, our Father. So if you really seriously sort of believe that, very useful. But most case, including some Buddhist, you see, just ritual and eventually create concept of my religion, their religion. Then sometimes create barrier. So that's nothing to do with religious teaching, but we not properly or seriously, sincerely implement simply our equistic attitude, use faith, my faith, their faith, like that. So actually, Dharma should reduce our emotion, but without changing our emotion, considerable we and they, self-centered attitude. Sincere practitioner of love, self-centered attitude much reduced. Few years ago, in Spain, Barcelona, I met one Catholic monk. He spent 5 years in the mountain behind Montserrat Temple. 5 years, just tea, bread, without much hot meal. He 5 years remained there in the mountain, hermit life. When I met him, I asked him, I was told, you spent 5 years in the mountain, hermit life. And what kind of practice? I asked him. And then he answered, practice of love. When he answered that, in his eye, some special significance. So, you see, all major religious traditions have same potential to produce such a wonderful person. Then late Mother Teresa, a Catholic, really dedicated whole her life serving poor people, especially needy people, like that. So these all major religious traditions have same potential if you seriously practice, sincerely practice, then all have the same potential. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Sir. Good morning, sir. I have a question. Like, students have many distractions in their life. How do you think we can concentrate and succeed in a particular thing?
Karswa. So, practice of shamatha, single-pointed mind, is important. That is training in sixth mind, not sensorial. Sensorial, we can use seeing flower, hearing music, but main mind focusing the subject you study. We can do that. We have the ability. You see, some kind of sensorial sort of feeling, seeing these things, you can ignore your main mind focusing the subject you study. That you can do. So the training of mind, single-pointed mind, which we call shamatha, samatin or shamatha. Once our mental energy channelized, focusing one particular subject, then not just remain there, then use human intelligence in the investigation. That we call analytical meditation, vipassana. So these two things, your tradition, is very useful, very helpful. Now, for example, I think if may I say so, now, this physical, now, over 82-year-old, sometimes memory about different name, sometimes a little difficult, but otherwise my mind still quite sharp. Because training, since childhood, we use extensively analytical meditation, analyze. As a Buddhist, Buddha himself, you see, mentioned, oh, my follower, Buddhist monk, Buddhist scholar, should not accept my teaching out of faith, out of devotion, but rather thorough investigation and experiment. So some of the Nalanda master, such as Nagarjuna, rejected some of the Buddha's own teaching if you accept this Buddha's teaching, it goes against reason. Therefore, we should reject. It is quite remarkable, isn't it? Quite unique. So there, Buddhist tradition, general, particularly Nalanda tradition, we extensively use logical approach, analyze, like that. Okay.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. His Holiness, I just wanted to ask you, when you hear sad news or something sad that is happening, then what kind of thought process goes on and how do you deal with sadness that you might hear of?
Kharsa, now we have this intelligence. Intelligence, our brain have this some ability to see more holistic. Sadness, you see, that emotion develop from one angle. So if you just look from one angle, how bad, then sadness increasing. But the same tragedy, same sort of, because of event, look from wider perspective, not only just one angle, one dimension, but a three dimension, four dimension, six dimension, more holistic way to look, then I think every tragic situation, not just the 100% negative, there are also some positive thing there. And also, according to law of causality, one tragic situation may create a new opportunity. So intelligence use the thing appears very sad. Just to concentrate on it, sadness increasing. Then same thing, look from wider perspective, use our intelligence. Then you can see some positive thing there. So that automatically more balance your emotion. Okay.
Sir.
His Holiness.
Namaste. I am Vishwanath Sharma. There is a shloka in Bhagavad Gita. Swadharme nidanam kshemaha paradharmo bhayavaha. What is the differentiation between swadharma and paradharma? Please clarify, sir.
Karasa, what? I don't know.
Hello. There is a shloka in Bhagavad Gita. Swadharme nidanam kshemaha paradharmo bhayavaha. What is the differentiation between swadharma and paradharma? Please clarify, sir.
I think better to ask one scholar about that. I don't know.
His Holiness.
Very good morning. My question is, in this generation, how can youngsters like us deal with depression and walk on the right path?
Kharsa.
In this generation, how could youngsters like us deal with depression and try walking in a right path?
I think many parts of the world problem of emotion there. Therefore, drugs, alcoholism, these things happen. So this clearly shows lack of knowledge how to tackle our emotion. Emotion is part of our mind. So the countermeasure must develop within mind. The problem, part of our mind, and then try to solve that through external means, drugs or alcohol like that, is wrong. So, therefore, now the world, some, we can say some way, world crisis emotion. And that's why a lot of people unnecessarily suffering, neglected. Now this very moment in Yemen, how many people, particularly children, facing starvation? And Syria, how many people now killing? All this due to human emotion. And then the whole world, among 7 billion human beings, there is huge gap, rich and poor. In this country, also you see the India, the material, now since independence, the material development and the education, much sort of achievement, but still huge gap, rich and poor. And also century old, certain sort of bad sort of habit or tradition, the caste system, so-called caste system. No? These are backward. We must change. So this question of moral principle, these due to see, too much self-centered attitude, lack of sense of concern of others' well-being, then these things see, happen. So you have the potential. Now, only thing is, younger generation, you should pay more attention to these things. If may I say so, they, like you, I usually describe generation of 21st century. So now, generation of 21st century, you should think more. You should not copy just this old person, the generation of 20th century. We have, you see,
His Holiness.
We have, you see, certain way of sort of life. So I think materialistic education create materialistic life, materialistic society, materialistic culture, and lacking or neglect about our inner knowledge about how to bring inner value. Yes?
His Holiness, I have a question for you. Next to you is sitting a scientist. Man has already put his footprints on the moon. And do you believe that God exists?
That was the last question. So please, mic to Ratana Vapas Tokode. Please take back the mic. This is the last question.
Now, according one of ancient Indian sort of tradition, that is Buddhism, and also, as I mentioned earlier, Sankhyaism, no God, no God, no creator. Especially Buddha mentioned self-creation. No creator there, but self-creation. Everything depends on your own action. Everything, every action related with emotion, like that.
With this, we come to the end of the Q&A. Well, it was, ladies and gentlemen, I think we should all give a huge round of applause for His Holiness for taking time and answering all the questions. And now it's our privilege to offer our felicitations to His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama. I would request Sri N.R. Panditharadhyaya, the president of Seshadripuram Educational Trust, to do the honors. ದಯವಿಟ್ಟು ಟ್ರಸ್ಟಿಗಳೆಲ್ಲ ಎಡಬಲ ಬಲಕ್ಕೆ ಹೋಗಬೇಕು, ಫೋಟೋಗ್ರಾಫರ್ಸ್ಗೆ ಮೀಡಿಯಾದವರಿಗೆ ಜಾಗ ಮಾಡಿಕೊಡ್ಬೇಕು. ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಕಮ್ ಟು ದ ಸೈಟ್, ಆಮೇಲೆ ಫೋಟೋಗ್ರಾಫ್ಸ್ ಇರುತ್ತೆ, ಡೋಂಟ್ ವರಿ. Okay, thank you very much. Please get back to your seats. ದಯವಿಟ್ಟು ಎಲ್ಲ ಗೌರವಾನ್ವಿತ ಟ್ರಸ್ಟಿಗಳು ಕಿರಣ್ಕುಮಾರ್ ಅವರದಲ್ವಾ, ಐ ವುಡ್ ರಿಕ್ವೆಸ್ಟ್ ದಿ ಪ್ರೆಸಿಡೆಂಟ್ ಟು ಆನರ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಕಿರಣ್ ಕುಮಾರ್. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಪ್ಲಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಯಾಪ್ಲಿಂಗ್, ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದಟ್ ದಿ ಆನರ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಡನ್ ಸಿಗ್ನಲಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಎನ್ವೈರನ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಫ್ರೆಂಡ್ಲಿ ಅಪ್ರೋಚ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಹೋಲಿನೆಸ್ ದಿ ದಲೈ ಲಾಮಾ ಈಸ್ ನೌ ಪ್ಲಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಯಾಪ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಫರಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ಆಲ್ ಲವ್ ಎನ್ವೈರನ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಟ್ರೀ ವಿಲ್ ಗೋ ಎ ಲಾಂಗ್ ವೇ towards preserving the ecology. If you plant a tree today, it will go a long way towards making the life of all of us happy. Let's give a round of applause for the noble gesture. Thank you.